Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Surprise Jab Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Ruger, surprising you with new topics every single week and jabbing you with your daily dose of UFC. And if you like UFC, ladies and gentlemen, this is the episode for you. I mean, back in the early stages of the podcast, I only have two episodes, actually, I think, titled this called UFC Extravaganza, where we just talked about UFC for pretty much every segment. That's pretty much what we have here today, folks. We have a pretty jammed schedule. The main event, the main course, if you will, even the dessert, too, for this episode is our UFC 304 predictions. Leon Edwards versus Bilal Muhammad for the undisputed welterweight championship going down in London, England, I believe. It's either London or Manchester. I think it's London this Saturday. Going to be covering all those fights, dropping our predictions. I'm excited for that card. As well, we're going to be recapping UFC Vegas 94. I would say I had the privilege of watching this, but I don't know if I was really privileged watching this card. I won't lie, it wasn't the worst UFC Vegas that I've watched, so there's that. We're also back with another verdict Q&A, kind of a fun question posed this week. Stay tuned for that. As well, we're going to be looking at top 10 new things in pop culture, some new UFC fights, and I'm even going to mention in just a second about moving out of my apartment. That's right, life is moving on, and I'm going to tell you all what's just been going on in the host's life. So without further ado, strap in, grab some drinks for the night, and let's get surprising. Yeah, you know what? That just doesn't have the same hit that I thought it would. We've come up with a couple slogans on here now and then, but get surprising? No. That's not going to stay. And I'll tell you who else is not going to stay, and that's me, because guess what? I moved out of my apartment, which I've been in the last 2 years at college with my good roommate, Seth. And, you know, I was down there this weekend. That's kind of why there hasn't been too much posting as far as social medias for the podcast. But it was a very fun time. It was just me down there cleaning out the whole place. Let me tell you, it is no easy work cleaning out an apartment. I mean, everything had to go. It was furnished, so we were able to leave like some tables, the kitchen table, chairs, the couch and a chair. So that wasn't too bad. But I mean, dusting and cleaning and wiping everything, it was hectic. Holy cow. Took me a full 2 days. I'd say full two days. I went down after work on Friday, and then Sunday, just about evening, I came back home, and it was kind of emotional. I didn't cry or anything, but I was just kind of aware of just that life is moving on. I'm now in my senior year of college, which I'm very excited for. Some people say like, oh, I don't feel like a senior. I feel like a senior. I feel like I've been prepared with a lot of tools on what it means to be a senior, to help freshmen as well. I am the president of the marketing club at Minnesota State Mankato, so thank you very much. And it's just, it was something. It was something. You know, I was listening to music, just kind of sitting out on my balcony one last time. Sun was shining, vibes were high, and it was a good time. It was a good time. Moving into my new place, and I was able to bring a couple of things over there, actually a good amount of things, and brought a lot of stuff home, surprisingly. And, you know, it just made me realize I got a lot of work to do. But I'm going to be taking off. I thought I started school a week earlier than I do, so it's kind of good that I don't. I'm going to go down a week early with my three other roommates, and we are going to grind. All right, we're going to grind day and night to turn that place from the trash hole it is. I'll call it what it is. It's a trash hole right now. It's absolutely terrible. There's flies everywhere, holes on the wall, scratches on the wall. Is in need of a good old Zach Ruger fixing up. So probably I'll go work on that. We're going to be putting a gym in the garage, which is very exciting. I'm going to be saving some money, although I will miss Anytime Fitness. I do love a little Anytime Fitness. But yeah, it was a good time this weekend, and it's always just having the freedom down there. It is intoxicating, I will say. You know, just being able to do whatever you want on your own, and not necessarily do anything bad or devious, but I mean, just kind of be able to, you know, I got up whenever I want to, I went somewhere whenever I want to, drove wherever I want to. And it's just kind of different when you're home with your parents, and that's not saying that sucks living with your parents. That is not what I'm saying, but I am saying that, you know, just being on your own, it is what life is all about. If you can master being alone with your thoughts, just doing that, I think, is enough to really improve, self-improve in life, which is what we're all about. And I'm certainly, you know, I've been reading a lot of books this summer, been covering a lot of them. Some of them we haven't been able to cover. And, you know, it's also helped me with, you know, because I was kind of sad. There's a lot of memories in that place. Me and my roommate, you know, all the late nights coming back from the bar, walking an hour plus home, or, you know, the fights we used to get and all the girls he used to bring home. All the maintenance stuff I learned, all the just cleanliness of keeping things. You know, that was my first place. You know, it was my first apartment, and saying goodbye to it was a little sad. But, you know, as much as I'll miss it, it's more of a I've accepted that I'll miss it. I'm not necessarily like, oh, I miss it so much, I'm going to go back to it. No, got to move on. Got to go on to bigger, better things. That's certainly what my new place is going to look like. And I'm hoping there I can find out where I can set up a little studio and hopefully get to film. And so we'll be moving on to bigger and better things. And I'll tell you what, the UFC is always moving on to bigger and better things. And we have a bunch of new fight announcements to bring to you guys, which I'm super pumped about. Dana White and Hunter Campbell just been on absolute electricity, giving us banger fights. So let's go over to the some of the better ones that have been announced over the last few days. First off, I can't remember if I covered this last episode since it's been a week since I last recorded, but Cody Garbrandt versus Miles Johns was announced for an October 12th card, which is rumored to be a UFC Apex event. But that's right, Cody No Love Garbrandt, the former bantamweight champion, is back in action, and he's unfortunately coming off a loss to Deiveson Figueiredo. But besides that, knocked out Brian Kelleher in December, which kind of snapped like a 3-fight losing streak. So Cody Garbrandt in an interesting position. We'll have to see how he does in this matchup as he takes on the unranked Miles Johns, 15-2 professionally, 6-2 in the UFC. Biggest wins probably over Adrian Yanez. I don't know, but that should be a very competitive fight. So far, Cody Garbrandt is 2-0 over unranked competitors. And since, what is it, 2021, I think he's lost 4 fights to ranked people. So it'll be interesting to see how Cody Garbrandt rebounds from this. I actually think he's 2-7 in his last 9 fights, now that I'm really really thinking about it. It might be, what is he? He has 6 losses. He was undefeated at one point. TJ Dillashaw beat him twice. Pedro Munhoz beat him. Rob Font beat him. Kaikara France beat him. Deiveson Figueiredo beat him. So, yeah, it's been a rough going for Cody No Love Garbrandt. But I got a good feeling that he'll be getting back in the win column. But don't sleep on Miles Johns. How about that? Also announced for the October 12th card, Nico the Hybrid Price, coming off a win recently. Who did Nico Price beat? He beat someone, and I didn't think he would. He got put on the main card of a pay-per-view, I believe, or maybe it was a main card of a fight night or something. Gosh, it was a veteran. I know this for a fact. This is really troubling me. I can't believe I can't think of this. It might have been Alex Morono. I think it was Alex Morono. But, you know, Nico Price is back. 16-7 professionally. 8-7 in the UFC. So this could make or break him. He takes on Themba Gorimbo, who after losing his UFC debut, has since responded with 3 straight wins. Wins over Ramiz Brahimaj, Takeshi Sato, and Pete Rodriguez. Themba Gorimbo, of course, the fighter who The Rock gave a house. And since getting that house, he's gone 3-0. So Themba Gorimbo looking to become a UFC champion one day in this welterweight fight. Hey, you win this, Themba, you're on a 4-fight win streak. That is usually a ticket to gain a ranked opponent. Happy to see that. Nico, I mean, I've seen him get knocked out by Robbie Lawler. I've seen Vicente Luque bust his entire face wide open. I've seen him go to a split decision against Donald Cerrone when he should have lost. I mean, I don't know what to say about Nico Price. He's certainly an interesting fighter. Another fight announced for the October 12th card. Wow, they announced a good amount for that. A welterweight fight between Chidi and Chukani and Jared Knight Train Gooden. Chidi and Chukani recently dropped down to welterweight earlier this year, picking up a win over, oh my gosh, I cannot remember his name. Holy cow, what is Chidi? Who he beat some unranked welterweight, but I think it was in London, I think the card took place, or I honestly can't remember. I'm mind blanking. But Chidi and Chukani, 3-3 in the UFC, 23-10 professionally, suffered some unfortunate losses at middleweight, 1-0 at welterweight. We'll see how he does. Jared Gooden, 2-4 in the UFC. He's floated in and out of the UFC in recent years. I mean, this is definitely a loser leaves, a winner stays type of fight. Let me just tell you that. But I'm probably going to ride with Chidi and Chukani in this one. He had some serious power. He knocked out Marc-Andre Bauyut in 16 seconds. And Mark's only ever been knocked out by 2 people, I'm pretty sure. A fight announced for UFC Paris, September 28th at the Accor Center, of course, in Paris, France. Accor Center, right? I thought I said Acorn Center for a second. Ion the Hulk Kudalaba is back. The 17-10 light heavyweight takes on the, I mean, never been in the UFC before, Ivan Ersland, 14-3. He's coming in from Croatia. Gosh, I'll be interested to see how he performs. But Ion Kudalaba, 6-9-1 in the UFC. 6-9-1. That is not necessarily the best record. I mean, I wish he was 6-1-9. Then he'd have a Rey Mysterio's number. So that's pretty fun there. Oh, speaking of Rey Mysterio, guys, I'm going to WWE Raw, Monday Night Raw on Monday night. So I'm so going to be talking about that on the next podcast episode. So next week might be a one episode week. We'll have to see. I am excited, though, for that. Let me just tell you, I've not been to a WWE event in like 10 years. It's been a long time. But Ivan Ersland, I always loving these new guys coming into the UFC. He looks to be a striker. Ion Kudalaba, he's been on the wrong side of losses the last few years. It's been unfortunate, but you know what? It happens. Who cares? We'll ride with the newbie, Ivan Ersland. And finally, this is one of the fights I was so excited to see get announced. Going down October 5th at UFC 307, the undefeated 18-0 in the UFC, Muzaffar Evloev, coming off a huge win over Arnold Allen, also holds wins over Diego Lopez and Dan Ige, the number 5 ranked featherweight in the world. He is back, and trust me, I think a title shot hangs in the balance in this one as he takes on the former UFC bantamweight champion, Aljamain Funkmaster Sterling, 24-4 professionally, 16-4 in the UFC, 20 UFC fights, 16-4, coming off a huge one over Calvin Kattar. I mean, grappled him to death at UFC 300. I mean, oh my goodness. Other than that, holds wins over TJ Dillashaw, Piotr Jan, Henry Cejudo, Aljamain Sterling, legendary. And the weird thing about this is both of these guys do not strike. Like, I'm talking, they do not strike, they only grapple. So you're either going to see one of these wrestlers out grappling one another, or they're going to have to turn to their fists where they really don't have any knockouts on the feet. I know Muzaffar Evloev, 8-0, all of his fights have gone the distance. He was kind of testing his luck with Arnold Allen, was able to take some shots from him. I do favor Muzaffar Evloev due to just the fact he's more used to the featherweights. And, you know, there's just something about Muzaffar Evloev beating Arnold Allen and Diego Lopez that's more impressive than Aljamain Sterling beating Calvin Kattar. Calvin Kattar, a pure striker, does not grapple at all. Arnold Allen, he mixes it up. And Diego Lopez, I mean, we've seen how crazy he is. I'm excited for that one. I'm leaning most far, but don't sleep on the Funk Master Sterling. A fight announced for UFC Noche. That's right, we now have 7 of the 10 fights already announced. I'm so perplexed by this. But this one is fitting to be in the sphere. That is right, the 19-year-old, he might be almost 20 before this happens, Raul Rosas Jr., 9-1 professionally, 3-1 in the UFC. All right, he's coming off a nice little win over Ricky Tercio, submitted him, thank goodness. He'll be taking on Al Gorquin. That's right, the Mongolian murderer, Al Gorquin, single name, crazy from China. And you know, he's 3-3 in the UFC, 21-9. I can't remember if he's coming off a win over someone. I don't really think so. Usually he gets finished. But this is yet another test for the young, hungry Raul Rosas Jr. He's looking to become the youngest champion in UFC history. I don't know if that's necessarily in the cards. You know, he does turn 20 on October 8th, I just saw. So we'll have to see. We'll have to see. Maybe if he can squeak that in within the next 3 years or so. But hey, pick up the wins, Raul. Earn your credit. Keep getting it done. I definitely favor Raul in this matchup. Another fun fight announced going down at UFC Abu Dhabi August 3rd. Of course, if no one heard, Vicente Luque versus Nick Diaz is being moved. Apparently, there were some visa issues with Nick Diaz. He was probably smoking plane in an airport or something. But instead, the new co-main event for UFC Abu Dhabi, Shara Magomedov. Shara Bullet is back. The 13-0, 2-0 now in the UFC, coming off of a round 3 TKO, is back. And I'm here for it. I'm excited for it, man. He's undefeated, 13-0, fighting on home turf. Abu Dhabi is kind of home turf for the Russians for some reason. I guess it's kind of close to Russia, but hey, I'm here for it. Love Shara. He takes on fellow striker Michael Olakajasek, 7-6 in the UFC, 19-8 professionally. He did, I will say, get submitted in like a minute by Kevin Holland. He got armbarred not too long ago, but I don't think that's going to hold him back. These two are going to strike. Someone's going to sleep. My money's on Shara, but Michael Olakajasek, he's got that power in the hands. I'm really excited to see the outcome of that fight. Fight announced for UFC Paris going down September 28th, as we all know, got a lisp in there. Morgan Cherie, the last pirate, is back, 19-10 professionally, 1-1 in the UFC. Picked up a big win over William Gomez, but actually lost his last fight to Chepe Marisco, fight of the night. Excited to see him back, fellow France native himself. He'll be taking on AJ Cunningham, who's 0-1 in the UFC, 11-4 professionally. This fight is set up for Morgan Cherie to get a finish in front of his home nation, home crowd of France. I love it. I love Morgan Cherie. He's entertaining. Should be good. Fun fight announced for UFC Vegas 97 going down September 7th. I mean, we have so many fights, guys. Holy cow. I didn't even realize how many we had. Trevor Peak is back in action, 9-2 professionally, 2-2 in the UFC. And might I add, all four of those fights have been bangers. Okay, absolute bangers. Trevor Peak did lose his last fight to Charlie Campbell, but I mean, he was just so entertaining in that fight. One performance of the night for a knockout win, but I have a good feeling he should get back in the win column here, but it won't be easy as he takes on Yanal Ashmaz, one of the few Israeli Jewish fighters in the UFC. He's 1-1, was able to submit Sam Patterson, I believe, in their debut, or knock him out, I think it was. Unfortunately lost his next fight, but I mean, this is a great fight. I like both of these men, and it should be entertaining. That's all we got for that. We'll go over two more. An official fight for UFC 308 going down October 25th, of course, in Abu Dhabi. Two Abu Dhabi cards in like a 3-month span. Incredible. He's back. Renat Fakhreddine, 4-0-1 in the UFC, coming off a big win over Nicholas Dalby. This guy is 24-2, guys. 24-2 with one draw. And I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, he's on a 23-fight unbeaten streak. It is insane. It is absolutely insane. Renat Fakhreddine, Russian as they come, holds a dominant win over Kevin Lee, holds a dominant win over Brian Battle. The Nicholas Dalby fight was a bit of a war, bit of a close fight, but he's able to prevail in that one. I'm excited to see what Renat brings to the table, but he takes on another fighter I kind of fancy, Nursultan Blakhruzabov, 2-1 in the UFC, lost the decision to Joaquin Buckley, but guys, 36-9. And two draws and two no contests. I mean, it's absolutely insane. This guy's had so many professional bouts. And of those 36 wins, 34 finishes. This is absolutely crazy, okay? I won't lie. Immediately what jumps out to me is that Renat Fakhreddine is either going to get TKO'd on the feed, or Nursultan's going to get submitted or grappled to death on the ground. That's exactly what this fight is to me. I'm excited to see it. Definitely leaning Renat Fakhreddine, get this man in the rankings, but I'll take this fight as far as it comes. Two Russian gladiators going at it. And the last fight we're going to touch on, going down at UFC 307, of course, October 5th, rumored to be in Utah. Marina Rodriguez, the number 6 woman's strawweight, takes on the number 14 ranked, thought she was unranked, actually, Yasmin Lucindo. Yasmin Lucindo, she recently beat Karolina Kowalski and Paula Aviana. Okay, makes sense. Yasmin Lucindo, born in 2002. I mean, she's young. She's 22 years old, 3-1 in the UFC, 16-5 professionally. She's good, but she takes on Marina Rodriguez, who's coming off a tough loss to Jessica Andrade. I mean, it's just unfortunate to see, but Marina holds wins over Yan Cheonan, Amanda Ribas, Mackenzie Dern. She's 7-4-2 in the UFC, 17-4 professionally. I'm excited for this one. I'm definitely leaning with Marina Rodriguez. But guys, that's all the new fights we have. And I say that with kind of like, oh, that's all the fights we have. But a lot of new fights, a lot of banger action coming at you. I'm so excited to see what we get in the, what is it, third and fourth quarter, I guess. We are in the third quarter of the year. First half is over. It was entertaining, a lot of good moments. But I honestly feel almost every single UFC year ends with a bang. I'm here for it. And as far as UFC events ending with a bang, you know, UFC Vegas 94, it wasn't bad. It wasn't bad, and I will definitely say that. There was some bad on the card. Like, I'm going to hold it accountable. There were some rough ones. We did finish 5-6. We did finish 5-6 on predictions. Junyoung Park versus Brad Tavares was scrapped, unfortunately, before the event came to fruition. So we are now sitting at 174-117. 174-117 on the year for full card predictions. I'm sure if we went down to prelims or main card, that gosh, that would be a whole project unto itself. Remind me to do that in 2025 to actually keep track of our totals for the year, our main card, and our prelims. I really got to do that. But exciting stuff on the event. I mean, what else are we going to do but go over it, talk about the fights, give our thoughts. And like I said, almost all these fights were 50-50 if you listened to the last episode. So every fight was a pick 'em. Some we got, some we didn't. Let's go over it. The prelims for this fight, this fight night, were atrocious. They were pretty atrocious. Five prelim fights, and we got one finish. The other four decisions, there was no fight of the night. So not the strongest start to UFC Vegas 94. We started off Thomas Pearson and Muhammad Usman, and I shouldn't have slept on my Minnesota boy from Webster, Minnesota, Thomas Pearson. But I will add this point in here, which I've noticed with Muhammad Usman. In his last, I'd go as far to say almost every UFC fight, except his debut when he won it by knockout, it just doesn't look like he wants to be in there. I mean, he got casually outboxed by a grappler. I mean, Thomas Pearson did nothing impressive in this fight. Outstruck him 76-63 significantly, 98-63 total. Went 2 of 5 on takedowns for only a minute and a second of control time, so... Like I said, he did not do much. Won every round on the judges' scorecards, which makes sense looking at the stats for this fight. Gets it done, but honestly, I don't even know who to say should be next. Both of these guys, I think, get finished by anyone in the rankings. I mean, I honestly can't lie. I clown on, like, the bottom six in the heavyweight rankings. They would all absolutely destroy these guys. So, it's unfortunate. But Thomas Pearson, getting back in the win column. Good for him. Good for Thomas Pearson, Minnesota boy. Always got to root for little Minnesota boys. He is now sitting at 9-2 professionally. He's now 1-1 in the UFC. We'll see what's next for him. Muhammad Usman, 11-4 professionally, 2-fight losing streak. Both of them, he has just gotten casually outboxed on the feet. Nothing special, nothing spontaneous. I don't even know who to feed these guys to. How about Junior Taffa and Justin Taffa? Two names that come right to mind. After that, we head to the women's flyweight division, and thankfully, we knew Luiana Carolina would win this fight, and by gosh darn it, she absolutely did. Good stuff, Luiana. She wins by unanimous decision over Lucy Pudelova. Tolls from the fight, Luiana Carolina, 94 significant strikes to Lucy Pudelova's 43. 114 total strikes to 62. Carolina was on fire. Lucy Pudelova, 2 of 4 on takedowns for 2 minutes of control time. So no one was really able to be held down in this fight. A 30-27, 29-28, and 29-28 for the scorecards. You know, the per round, Luiana Carolina dominated her round one, 33 significant strikes to 6. Round two was a bit closer. You know, Lucy Pudelova evening it up almost, 24 significant strikes to 22. Round three, 37-15, Luiana Carolina pulled away. Now on a 3-fight winning streak, now 11-4. Luiana Carolina, I don't want to say you should start looking at the women's flyweight rankings, but I mean, a little 3-fight win streak, that'll put you right where you need to be. And number 15 ranked Casey O'Neill. You know, I think she could be a potential opponent for you. We'll see what happens. Lucy Pudelova is now on a 3-fight losing streak and is 1-7 in her last 8. Yeah, 14-10 professionally. She's getting cut. She is getting cut. Let me tell you that. Luiana Carolina, the +100 underdog, cashes. Thomas Pearson is actually an underdog at +125. So two underdogs to kick off the card. How about that? Nothing exciting, nothing intriguing, but we predicted this one correctly. Next fight, another frustrating one. Another frustrating one, I can't lie. We went with the favorite here, Loic Radziboev, but Trey Ogden, the +125 underdog, was able to get it done. Wins a unanimous decision, same scorecard as the last fight, 2-29-28 and a 30-27. And Loic had him on the feet, 42 significant strikes to 24. Total strikes, 116-97 in favor of Trey Ogden, but 4 of 5 on takedowns for 10 minutes of control time. 2 rounds went to Trey Ogden, minimum. Round one, I mean, went 2 of 2 on takedowns, 4.5 minutes control time. Round two, Loic Radziboev, one of the best rounds of the fight, 22 significant strikes each. 1 of 2 on takedowns for Trey Ogden, had 2 minutes of control time. Loic was trying to keep it on the feet. But round three, I mean, despite only landing 1 significant strike, Trey Ogden was still able to get 3 minutes of control time and win this fight. Loic was just so gassed from all the grappling that even when he got into, like, top position, he had no energy to even continue fighting. So Trey Ogden Getting on getting another win. 2-0 now in 2024. Two-fight winning streak, I might add, should be three. But, you know, the Nicholas Mota situation. 18-6 record now for the Samurai. Funny nickname. We'll see what's next for you. Sky's the limit at lightweight. Anyone on this card I can match you up with, Trey Ogden? You know, that's what we always love to do. If there's anyone in the same weight class on a fight card, we like to pair them up. I actually think I do have someone. You could fight Kurt Hollebaum. Kurt Hollebaum. Actually, he already fought Kurt Hollebaum. So how about that? He already fought a guy who I thought they should be matched up with. But Trey Ogden, good win. Lower Gradzibov is now 2-2 in the UFC. Decision win, decision loss. Round two knockout loss, round three knockout win. It's been pretty similar. We'll see what happens. But Loic will probably be a winner go home for your next matchup. After that, we got to some women's flyweight action as Miranda Fear the Maverick took on Deonna the Witch Barbosa. And I knew with a nickname like the Witch, she was not going to win. Miranda Maverick uses her grappling 2-5 on takedowns for 8 minutes control time to get 230-27 scorecards and 29-28 to get a unanimous decision victory. Significant strikes 30-21 in favor of the Maverick. Total strikes 102-47 in favor of Miranda Maverick. Round one, dominated her. Round two, much closer. Round three, it was all Miranda Maverick. Dominated the whole fight. Good grappling all around. Great win from Miranda Maverick. 3-fight winning streak, might I add. Maybe her and Luiana Carolina could fight. Okay, but I mean, Miranda Maverick, there's a lot of options out there. Jessica DeVicious might be fighting up, but you have Ariana Da Silva at 13, Tracy Cortez at 12. They were actually originally going to fight. So how about Tracy Cortez, Miranda Maverick? Beautiful fight right there for you. She's also 5-1 in her last 6, so doing pretty good. Deonna Barbosa is now 1-1 in the UFC, 7-3 professionally. You know what? She's whatever. I don't like your nickname. The Witch is not a fun nickname, okay? But Miranda Maverick, getting it done. I'm a Maverick, okay? Minnesota State Mavericks, what are you talking about? Final prelim of the night, and Brian Kelleher is officially one of the worst UFC fighters. I'm sorry, Brian. I'd love to have you on the podcast sometime. But he just got submitted to Cody Gibson. Cody Gibson gets his 5th career submission, 12th career finish of his 21 professional wins. And this snapped an insane 4-fight losing streak for Cody Gibson. I mean, Brian Kelleher, not much to say for him. 4-fight losing streak. He's been finished in round one in every single fight. And that's crazy. That's crazy because I had not picked him in any of the last 3 fights, and I decided to pick him here, and he loses to old beat-up Cody Gibson, who's 36 years old. But Brian is 37, so should have seen it coming. I mean, the fight lasted 4 minutes. 2 minutes, 38 seconds went to Cody Gibson in control time. Brian Kelleher landed 2 significant strikes. All right. Cody Gibson grappled him, took him down, got the win, needed to stay in the UFC with this win. Brian Kelleher, kick him out. Kick him out of the UFC. Lightweight win now. Featherweight win. Or actually, bantamweight. Cody Gibson's a bantamweight. My goodness, he's so small for some reason. I don't really know what bantamweight who to match you up with. I think the winner of Cody Garbrandt and Miles Johns, who we mentioned earlier, would be a perfect opponent for you, the winner of that, for you to fight. Even the loser of it, for all I'm concerned. But Cody Gibson got a finish. We didn't have to sit through another full 3 rounds. So, gets a thumbs up from me. Did not get a performance bonus, but did get a finish. And he actually kicked off a crazy run to end the card of the last 6 fights. 5 of them ended in finish, which were pretty good. So get into the main card. I mean, what do you want from me? What do you want from me? An absolutely crazy start to the card. I mean, holy cow. Haider Amil. Haider Amil, ladies and gentlemen, is now 10-0. And on the plus 155 underdog, who's 34 years old, all right, just got his 6th career knockout as he beats Jung Young Lee in 1 minute 5 seconds. And he landed an insane 38-punch combo. I mean, Jung Lee did not even get dropped, okay? The ref stepped in because he was like, okay, I'm not seeing him take this much damage anymore. This is just concerning, if anything. And I was just taken aback. I was like, holy cow, Jiang Li, stay in it. But he wasn't throwing back enough. Haider Amil just laid into him. Mark Smith was eventually like, okay, I'm stopping this. And sadly, the Korean Tiger loses to the Hurricane. I guess a Hurricane would beat a Korean Tiger, unfortunately. Jiang Li suffering his 2nd career defeat which really just breaks my heart. It really does. And snaps an 8-fight winning streak. But Hydromel now 10-0. Pretty freaking gnarly in the featherweight division. And guess what, Hyder? I found another Korean fighter for you to fight. And it's in the next matchup, as we're already kind of going over here. But Doo-Hoo Choi is back in the win column. The Korean Superboy. Oh, I absolutely love Doo-Hoo Choi. He's so fun to play with in UFC 5. I absolutely love him. Plus 135 underdog. And he gets his 12th career knockout. 12th career knockout, Doo-Hoo Choi. 15 wins now. Incredible. Snaps a 4-fight winless streak. And I absolutely love this. Absolutely love this. He dominated Bill Algeo, might I add. And Bill Algeo, one of the better unranked featherweights. But round one, Bill leaning on the grappling. 2 of 3, on takedown attempts. 3 minutes of control time. Doo-Hoo Choi threw up 3 submission attempts. He was not going to give up. And then Doo-Hoo Choi just let the hands go and might have shattered his orbital bone. Bill Algeo got hit with a bunch of punches and got hit with another. And as he was leaning back to start covering up his eye, went down. Doo-Hoo Choi landed 2 more shots to him on the ground. And that was that. The Korean Superboy gets his first win. Doo-Hoo Choi's first win since 2016. 8 years in the making. And he gets another knockout win. I absolutely love you. Absolutely love you. Sweet, sweet, sweet Doo-Hoo Choi, the Korean Superboy, back in the win column. Bill Algeo, 2-fight losing streak, been knocked out in both. That's tough. That's tough, all I'm going to say. But yeah, it's right there for me. Hydromel, Doo-Hoo Choi. Doo-Hoo Choi, gotta avenge Ji-Young Lee. Might as well. You're both from South Korea, for goodness sakes. Absolutely love this one. Doo-Hoo Choi, 33 years old, back in the win column and getting a nasty little broken eye knockdown, however you want to look at it. Following that, we had another banger win, and I was very happy that this is what occurred, because I thought I picked Cody Durden for some reason, so I was a little, like, sad when I saw this result, but Bruno Silva, plus 100 underdog, 34-year-old, knocking out Cody Durden in round number 2, and Cody Durden was kind of in control of this fight. Outstruck him on the feet in round 1, 24-22, and was out grappling him on the ground. I mean, of the 2 minutes 58 seconds, round 2 lasted 2 minutes 23 seconds, went to Cody Durden in control, and Bruno Silva was landing some good shots on the feet. Cody Durden, as he was getting up, Bruno Silva got out of a grappling position. As he was standing up, got clipped with an uppercut and just went down, and a couple follow-up punches, and that was that. Cody Durden knocked out Bruno Silva, getting his 6th career knockout, 10th career finish. Absolutely amazing work from Bruno Bulldog Silva. Now on a 4-fight win streak, all of them finishes. All of them finishes. And as we look at the updated rankings, ladies and gentlemen, he's ranked number 14 now. All right, you have a new stud in the flyweight division, and I'm here for it, man. Bruno Silva, the Bulldog, not to be confused with Bruno Silva of the middleweight division. No, 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 this is a smaller Bruno Silva. And both of his losses were to David Dork and to Girilin Bekov, which both of those guys were ranked, were pretty good. But yeah, biggest win of his career so far, I'd say, over Cody Durden. I'd definitely ride with that and getting it done. So what's next for him? I mean, he's ranked 14th. You know, I always love to throw around number 12 ranked Matt Schnell. He's always an option. But how about number 10 ranked Matthias Nicolau? Matthias Nicolau brutally knocked out last time he fought. So how about that? A little matchup right there for you. Cody Durden, 2-fight losing streak. Now he's been finished in round 2 in both of them. Just got to fight a lesser opponent, Cody, and I think you can bounce back. But yes, Bruno Silva getting it done. Shockingly good. KO. And he got a performance bonus. Him and Hydromel both got performance bonuses. They didn't give Doo-Hoo Choi a performance bonus. That upset me. With that, I cannot even believe this happened. Kurt Holubow beat Kanan Kruszewski by unanimous decision. Kanan Kruszewski cut him from the UFC. I cannot believe you lost to Kurt Holubow. If no one knows, Kurt Holubow, it just should not be in the UFC. He's 37 years old, plus 130 underdog, got it done, winning his 22nd professional bout. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Kanan Kruszewski now on a 2-fight losing streak. Embarrassing. Now this one, unanimous decision, 29-28 across the board. Kurt outstruck him significantly, 92-89. Total strikes, 171-115. Kurt goes 1-4 on takedowns for 5 minutes and 21 seconds of control time. Kanan, 3-3, but only 2 minutes and 47 seconds of control time. Round 1, Kanan outstruck him and defended 2 takedowns. But round 2, Kurt started feeling it on the feet, landed a takedown. And round 3, you know, Kanan landed 2 of 2 takedowns, outstruck him significantly by 4, but got outstruck regularly by 16. So that was enough for the judges, as Kurt Holubow gets a win. Wow. I don't even know what to say. Ultimate Fighter winner is Kurt Hallbo on a terrible season. But you know what? That was at lightweight. Trey Ogden won at lightweight. He already beat him, though. I don't even know what to do, guys. Kurt Hallbo, I'm pretty sure, will lose his next time out. But hey, got to win here. Kanan Kruseski, I'd be embarrassed. Cut him from the UFC. I've seen enough of Kanan Kruseski. I did see him get knocked out last fight. Should have been a sign not to pick him. Following that, we got to our co-main event of the evening. This was a super interesting one in the men's featherweight division as Steve Mean Machine Garcia took on Sungwoo Choi Sting, and this fight only needed a minute and 36 seconds before the Mean Machine, Steve Garcia, got his 13th career knockout, his fourth straight win, all of those coming by knockout. Dude, Steve Garcia, an absolute killer. Just sat Sungwoo Choi down. I mean, literally, Sungwoo Choi fell right backwards, and Steve Garcia landed barely one or two more shots, and he was already back in the win column. Incredible win, Steve Garcia. I love Mean Machine. I love me some Mean Machine. 32 years old from New Mexico. Absolutely crazy. It was 16 wins, 13 KOs. He's a great boxer. He's a great boxer, and I pointed this stat out last time, but on this little win streak of his four wins, he has six knockdowns, okay? He's knocked down every opponent, and in all of his UFC fights except one, he's either been knocked down or knocked down his opponent, which is pretty comical. Very, very entertaining stuff from Steve Garcia. Getting it done, Sungwoo Choi. You know, this hurts. This hurts me, Sungwoo Choi. Of his seven losses now, five of them by finish. He's now 1-4 in his last five. Oh, Sungwoo Choi. It's probably the end. It's probably the end, Sungwoo Choi. But guess what? I'm sorry. It's Steve Garcia's time. Featherweight division. He called out Dan Ige. Let's make that fight. Let's make that fight. Why not? I'd even throw around number 13th ranked Bryce Mitchell. That's another name I like. Now, if you want to get risky and fight Doohoo Choi, it's also an option, or even Hyder Emil. You know, a lot of fun options at featherweight. Good win for Steve Mean Machine Garcia. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, we got to the main event, and Amanda Lemos, you know, I thought she had this one pretty locked up, but I guess not. Virna Jandiroba gets the win, and not even just a win, a round two finish. You know, I fell asleep for this. I had one too many happy dads and was kind of mulling over the loss of the apartment, and I was like, I don't give a damn about this main event, and by gosh darn it, Virna Jandiroba getting a submission win here. Round one, Amanda Lemos landed one strike before being taken down and controlled the entire round, okay? Round two, Amanda Lemos looked to, I don't even know what she looked to do, jump on a guillotine or something, but she wound up on the ground, got put in an armbar, and that was that. That was that. Virna Jandiroba getting her 14th career submission, and this is kind of refreshing because, you know, she's on a four-fight winning streak, first finish since 2021, and that was by injury in the last fight. But Virna Jandiroba, now the number three ranked woman strawweight in the world, doesn't really carry any momentum. She's actually on the pound for pound rankings now at 13, which should tell you something about how bad the pound for pound rankings are. But yeah, good win for her. Amanda Lemos now 1-2 in her last three, which is unfortunate to see. Of her four losses now, she's been finished three times. We're here to focus on Virna Jandiroba getting it done, getting another win, four-fight win streak now, as we mentioned. And, you know, the only women above her are Yan Chaonin and Tatiana Suarez. As much as we could obviously give her a title shot, you know, I think Tatiana Suarez is pretty much the number one contender. She is the number one contender, but is actually going to get the title shot against Zhang Weili later this year. So I'm definitely feeling her versus Yan Chaonin is the fight to make. Jessica Andrade right below her. I don't really see how that makes sense. So if you're Jandiroba versus Yan Chaonin, do it in a fight night later in the year. Do it on main card. I don't care. Virna Jandiroba, if you're finishing opponents, it makes me happy. As for Amanda Lemos, she's now ranked number 5. You know, she's fought in the number 6 girl, the number 7, the number 8, number 9. Number 10 ranked Lupi Godinez needs an opponent. That's who you can fight. That's who I've chosen for Amanda Lemos. But yeah, if you're Jandiroba, getting a round 2 armbar, 14th career submission, very impressive. And gets a performance bonus. So Virna Jandiroba, Steve Garcia, Bruno Silva, and Hyder Emil all walking home with a little $50,000 extra dollars in their wallets. And, you know, I know it wasn't the most entertaining card. It wasn't the best. But like I said, on every card, there's always some good to look at. I still remember the card where it was only Talia Santos who got a finish on the entire card. It was absolutely insane. Maybe the main event had a finish. I gotta refine that card, but that was an excruciating card. So Fear and Chandaroba, I'll eat my words. We go 5-6 on predictions. And I wasn't too high on you, but guess what? You know what? You still got some skill in you, old gal. You still got some old skill in you. Probably shouldn't be calling her an old gal. That's kind of rude. I'm not sure anyone else in the MMA community would do that, because the MMA community is nice and smart, right? Well, if you ever have wondered what it's like to be a part of the MMA community, how about you join the Verdict MMA app? It's where you can look on round, not bet on rounds, but choose who you thought won each round in pretty much any PFL fight or UFC fight, full cards. They've just added all that. Verdict MMA, an amazing app. One day I will be sponsored by them. You hear me. You'll see their logo on the screen when I'm filming myself. I'm going to say that right now. That is going to happen. But I mean, I absolutely love this app. And I've recently started putting questions in the fight forum, which is essentially like the open discussion, like on Twitter. You know, you can just respond to anyone. And I kind of posed the question. You know, I posed a question last week's episode. And I figured I would do another one for this episode and look at who everyone responded to with, or how everyone responded, I should better say, grammarly. The question was, who is the most underappreciated champion currently in the UFC? And by the way, we have 11 UFC champions, but a lot of these were the same 3 to 4 people, so shouldn't be too surprised by some of these. We'll look at who got the most likes, who got the most views, and kind of just give my thoughts on a lot of these takes. So, kicking us off, Draymond Green MMA. Is it really Draymond Green? Probably not. He said Pantoja, Alexander Pantoja, the current flyweight champion. No hype, and no one seems to care about that division. I'd also say Islam Makhachev. People seem less impressed because a lot of people group him together with Khabib, and they've seen it before, even though he's in his own person and league. Draymond Green MMA, I love the take. I just gave it a thumbs up. That's 8 thumbs up. I completely agree. Completely agree with both those. Those are both great underappreciated champions. Alexander Pantoja really doesn't get any love whatsoever. And is it his fault? You know, I hate to be that guy. I hate to be that guy, but it kind of is. You know, despite the win streak, despite the 2 title defenses, I mean, it really is. It really is the fact he just doesn't talk a lot. You know, he doesn't really know English. He's from Brazil. And he just has no flair. You know, there's not really any style, anything too incredible about him. Strikes when he needs to strike, grapples when he needs to grapple, and retains. So there's that. As for Islam, I mean, I certainly very much like the point made that a lot of people compare him to Islam Makhachev, I mean, to Khabib Nurmagomedov. But Khabib was pure grappling. Islam is a striker through and through, as much as he is a grappler. I definitely find Islam very, I feel like he is appreciated, but it also is good to point out that he's certainly underappreciated compared to saying that he lives in the shadow of Khabib Nurmagomedov. Not really the best term, okay? He is in a league of his own. Strickland Army replied to that, saying Pantoja is so good that he is driving the division to the ground. Nobody wants to watch it no more because the guy has multiple wins over all of our favorite fighters in the division. Tough day to be a Brandon Moreno or Brandon Royval fan. Kai Carroll, what? Even the guy that called Kai a F-word, Manel Cape, you gotta be a fan of him or you don't like the division. Excellent take, Strickland Army. Someone downed it. I'm gonna give it an up, because guess what? It's a great point, right? Manel Cape, you know, he did call Kai Carroll fraud say the F word, which is the N word to gay people, if you know what I'm saying. And he actually fights this weekend, so we're going to be mentioning him in a second. But Manel Cape, you know, he's certainly someone to keep your eyes open for in the division to keep it exciting. But Brandon Moreno, one of the greatest flyweight champions of all time. I mean, his quadrilogy of fights against Deiveson Figueiredo, legendary. But I mean, he's not really in a spot to be fighting for the belt. Brandon Royval's lost twice to him. I mean, he whooped Steve Ursig, grappling-wise. And Kai Kara-France just cannot get back to a title shot as much as I'd love to see it. So, a lot of interesting stuff there. Really like the point there. Oliveira Sub said Leon Edwards. I also like this take. I was actually some shower thoughts earlier, just in the shower this morning. And I was kind of thinking how Leon Edwards really just doesn't have that much hype. You know, a lot of people discredit him. And I was kind of thinking, you know, he's on a 13-fight unbeaten streak. The only man to beat him in the UFC is Kamaru Usman. He's avenged that loss twice now. But he really is clinging to that Usman knockout to win the belt. That's kind of what he's got going for him. I don't really want to say he's cringe. You know, amazing body, amazing kicking, amazing punching. But just, you know, I think the Colby Covington fight left a sour taste in a lot of people's mouths for him being like the number 3 or number 4 pound-for-pound fighter in the world, where, you know, he's absolutely destroyed him through the first 3 rounds, semi-lost the 4th, lost the 5th. I don't know. Leon Edwards, an interesting point. I kind of agree. Aldizzi said Pantoa delivered the fight of the year in 2023 against Brandon Moreno. I don't even hate that take. He is more active than Sean O'Malley, Ia Topura, Leon Edwards, Driscus Duplessis, and John Jones. It's because he beat a fan favorite to win the belt and beat a universally liked prospect in Steve Ursig, which was a 50-50 fight in his opinion. Just saying that he won on paper. In a controversial fight, he and Pereira are the only two champions right now who can request a little bit of a layoff, and it makes sense. He's lapping in the division too, but still under Driscus Duplessis. See in the pound for pound too. More entertaining than people give him credit for, and an above average champion in terms of activity. Another great point. Just another great point. Alexander Pantoa has been so active. He already has two title defenses since winning the belt in July of 2023. In that time frame, I mean, I'm trying to look at current champions who are still champion. A lot of new champions, honestly. I mean, John Jones, we all know he's been inactive. Duplessis, you know, he won the belt this year. So, I mean, I don't think DDP is that bad, but certainly Sean O'Malley, you know. Actually, Sean O'Malley's kind of active even. I don't know. Interesting take, Aldizzi. Alexa said, currently Leon, agreed. Ruffner said, I agree, it's got to be Leon. CC Man 50 said, DDP, he barnstormed the whole division, and we act like he's a fluke champion. Only guys left for him are Izzy, a Sean rematch, and Canna Near. And despite winning the first one, soundly, in his opinion, I agree. You know, I'm a Driscus Duplessis fan, love DDP, and really no one gives him credit. I'm actually surprised that, you know, most people say, like, oh, Sean Strickland would destroy him in a rematch. I'm going to pick him to beat Izzy in August. All right, I want you all to know that I am riding with DDP in that matchup. And I think, you know, he's just one of the stars. I mean, people were saying he's going to lose every single fight. I honestly lost hope for a tiny bit in the Whitaker fight, and he knocked him out. He became the first man to finish Robert Whitaker since Israel Adesanya in 2019. So, Driscus Duplessis, very deserving champion, and he is underappreciated. The right hook did counter that, saying, disagree with the Strickland fight. I think Strickland won, but DDP is a killer nonetheless, so underrated and underappreciated. Yeah, I like that take. I like that take. He's an absolute killer. Goes forward all the time, and I think he has a deviated septum, like me or something, because he breathes out of his mouth a lot, so people usually think he's gassed. But man, he's got a gas tank for days. That boy can scrap. Sugar Sean, not the actual Sean O'Malley, or maybe it is, said, gotta be Pantoa, like that. Three Piece and a Soda said, yeah, gotta be Alexander Pantoja or Leon, both fantastic fighters, but they just don't get the love they deserve. Very true. Very true. They have their fan base, but compared to the other, you know, fighters on social media, nowhere that big. The right hook again said, as a Strickland fan, gotta be DDP. Must be why he commented on the other one. Punch Drunk Casual said, Leon has my vote also. I agree with Dre on the Islam situation too. Yeah, I'd have to say Leon Edwards, DDP, Alexander Pantoja, a lot of the recurring ones. Alexander Pantoa, look at where he is in the pound-for-pound rankings. Makes complete sense, but we just mentioned how the pound-for-pound rankings are screwy. Pantoa's number 10, I want you to know. Holloway, Volkanovski, John Jones, Ia Topura, Sean O'Malley, they're all above him, and they have less title defenses and less wins in the last 2 years than him, so... just saying that. Pantoa 100% by main event Mike. He was in a war with Moreno and a war with Ursig, but people still don't appreciate his activity in the sport. And Jay's 2006 said Pantoa 100%. Look, I think Verdict MMA has hit it on the dime. Alexander Pantoa, the number one underappreciated fighter. The number two, you know, we're going to say Leon Edwards for this one. He fights this weekend. If he can finish Bilal Muhammad, which is very unlikely, I think that would really give him a lot of momentum. Number three, we're going to go DDP. And a sneaky little fourth, Islam Makhachev. But what's my take? What's my take? I really liked everyone's. Sean O'Malley, Ia Topura, certainly not underappreciated. Alex Barra, not underappreciated. John Jones isn't. But I will say, we're going to go with the women's division. I think Alexa Grasso is an underappreciated champion, okay? Wins the belt over Valentina Shevchenko in the rematch, takes her to a split decision. All anyone brings up is she shouldn't have won that fight by, judging was bad in that fight. Shouldn't have been a draw. And I honestly think people don't give her enough credit for where she's at right now. She does have to defend the belt coming up, whether that be Manon Fiorot, whether that be Macy Barber or Valentina Shevchenko. She'll have to defend it. But before then, you know, I'm going to say people don't give her that much credit. But other than that, Verdict Q&A Amazing. I got to think of another question to pose for the next podcast. You guys should DM me or something. I'm always available. I'm really always available. Give me a call, even find my number, and let me know if there's any questions that we should answer. And I'll tell you what we are going to answer right now, and that is top 10 new things in pop culture, the movie world, the TV show world, occasionally the video game world. Lots of fun stuff. We, of course, go to Discussing Film on X, better known as Twitter, to get this 1.6 million followers on there. They are just phenomenal with their updates. We go through 10 things, which I just handpick and give our thoughts on it. So there we are. First off, The Boys season 8, not season 8, season 4, episode 8 aired last week, and it was a banger season finale. I mean, it's crazy. Episodes 1 through 6 were decent. Nowhere near as good as 7 and 8. I mean, you know, the pre-final episode was really good. Final episode was amazing. So some spoiler warnings here, but the show is wrapping up. Okay, 2026, season 5 should drop, and it will be the end of The Boys. And it is essentially the Empire, all right? Homelander is Darth Vader at this point, and he has full control of the United States and has ordered all soups to kind of just do whatever they want at will, execute his bidding. And The Boys, I mean, crazy ending. Kimiko finally falling in love with Frenchie. They finally had their moment. Annie and Huey finally, you know, coming together as one. But Butcher, you know, in a shocking fit of rage, you know, that he was being kept. Ryan accidentally killed Grace, of course, Butcher's mentor, if you will. And that kind of set Butcher off. You know, Ryan stormed off as Homelander was being sworn into Congress or whatever. And son of a gun, let me tell you that. Butcher is essentially Venom. That's the best comparison to him. He has this parasite in him. And Victoria Newman, you know, throughout the whole film, they're trying to kill Singer, trying to get after him. Newman is presumably, you know, going to be staying alive. You know, the boys finally get to her. They're protecting her. They do a deal. And Butcher shows up and literally like the Venom symbiote, like that's all I can describe it, like a bunch of like vines, tentacles come out of his chest and they grab Newman, bring her up in there, and they rip her in half. I mean, the boys, they love their gore. Absolutely crazy. And Butcher is now on a path of destruction as he looks to kill Homelander. And there's a scene from the comics where it shows Billy Butcher walking towards the White House with all the soups in the air waiting for him, and he just has like a crowbar in his hands. I'm really hoping the show goes there in season 5. I'm really hoping they go there. But absolutely wild ending. Ashley took Temp V to avoid being killed because Homelander told the boys essentially kill anyone who has any dirt on us in the Vought Tower. And there were some funny scenes with Black Noir and what's his name, The Deep, but kind of dark, you know. It was kind of them making jokes as they're killing people, which is just, it's weird, okay? It's weird. And the ending, you know, it ends with Billy Butcher on his way to kill everyone, but it ends with Huey getting kidnapped. It ends with Kimiko finally speaking, but Frenchie gets kidnapped. It ends with MM getting kidnapped. I mean, just crazy ending. Gen V season 2 should be coming out next year, Eric Kiepke, the whole producer of The Boys, said. So that'll be kind of the prelude to season 5. But I mean, holy cow, we are building up for a crazy, crazy ending. Number 2 in discussing film and pop culture, if you will, Deadpool and Wolverine. Let me just tell you, I've been avoiding any spoilers, doing my best, but it is everywhere. I see pictures everywhere, videos everywhere, trailers everywhere. It does come out this Friday, July 26th. I'm trying to see it maybe the next Tuesday, you know, because imagine theaters, they do $5 movie Tuesdays for loyalty members, and you already know I'm a loyalty member. So we'll see what happens, but I mean, after literally just this having some like pre-opening night or whatever, the MCU has officially become the first franchise to pass $30 billion worldwide this weekend. Okay, it will become the first movie franchise, apparently. Don't really know how that's even humanly possible. $30 billion. That means every movie is pretty much average close to $1 billion, which is crazy. Good work to the MCU. Good work all around. But yeah, that is impressive. I'll be excited to see Deadpool and Wolverine. Gonna be good. Number 3, Prime Video has officially announced their plans for the NBA in 2025 after purchasing rights to them. They will be showing weekly regular season games, playoff games, the conference finals, the play-in tournament, the NBA Cup, which is an in-season tournament, the Black Friday game, the WNBA Commissioner's Cup Championship, and the entire WNBA postseason and finals. Wow. Wow, Amazon Prime. Jeff Bezos clearly loves his basketball. What can we say? He loves his basketball. Number four, Rotten Tomatoes scores for the Deadpool and Wolverine movies. X-Men Origins had a 38%. The Wolverine had 71%. The original Deadpool had 85%. Deadpool 2 at 84%. Logan at 91%. And Deadpool Wolverine has debuted at an 81%. So they're putting this in the upper class for a better Deadpool Wolverine movies. Exciting stuff there. I'll be interested to see this movie. I really will be, and it's avoiding spoilers. Let me tell you, that is the real challenge. That's the real challenge at the end of the day. Number five, Inside Out 2 has become the highest grossing animated movie of all time. How? How? Who's going to see this movie? How is this the highest grossing movie of all time? Will I give this a chance? No. Will I be ridiculed for it? Yes. Do I care? No. No, I just really have no interest at all in this film. First look at Timothy Chalamet as Bob Dylan in A Complete Unknown, a Bob Dylan biopic, have recently released, and Timothy Chalamet does not look as charming as he did in Dune, let me tell you that. Certainly looks more like Bob Dylan. I'm interested to see what happens there. Will I be seeing that movie? Probably not. Probably not, but the trailer did release actually too. Oh, how about that? Not even just first look images. Well, full on trailer. Very, very cool. Number six. Anything else? I mean, so many news. The Batman universe of movies and TV shows is called the Batman Epic Crime Saga. Well, it's not really an epic crime saga if all we have is the Batman with Robert Pattinson, which was a long movie, let me tell you that. I know it's really acclaimed as one of the best superhero movies of all time, but a long movie. That came out in 2021, I'm pretty sure. It might have even been 2020. We're yet to get anything else in that franchise. I think the Penguin's coming out soon, but other than that, nothing. Nothing's taking place. Number six, Dave Bautista says he's struggling to find what his place could be in James Gunn's DCU universe. But adds, I'd really be up for anything. I got to a point in my career where I just felt like I was too old to play Bane. Then, an older Lex Luthor, I kind of became obsessed with that idea. Dave Bautista will be in the new DCU. Absolutely love him. Been a fan since his professional wrestling days. Been a fan since his Guardians of the Galaxy days. Whenever he's in a show or movie, I am hooked. Love Dave Bautista. How about we make him Batman? He can be the new Batman. Dave Bautista as Batman. Zac Efron has a new movie as number seven. He will star in Famous, an A24 film. He will star as two different characters, a Hollywood superstar and a crazy fan. Zac Efron, absolutely love him. I will say it is unfortunate. You know, he got in a car accident and had to get plastic surgery done on his face, a little Botox, and people clown him for it. But hey, Zac Efron, still funny, still hilarious, and we'll have to see. Whenever these movies have one actor play two characters, it's pretty wacky, so we'll see if Zac Efron can pull it out. Number eight, The Book of Bill is now available to buy at under $20. The Book of Bill, of course, from the Gravity Falls universe, one of the best animated shows of all time. Some for some reason ended after two seasons. Let me just tell you, that was one of the best two seasons of animated shows I've ever seen. Gravity Falls, amazing story. That book is very interesting, very cryptic, very creepy. But I like it. Number nine, Joker 2 is one of the most daring, brave, and creative films in recent American cinema, according to Deadline. We were astonished. Our mouths were open at the end of the screening. This took place at the Venice Film Festival from the chief, Alberto Barbera, who has seen the film. Look, I haven't seen the first one. The second one's apparently a, what do they call that? A Broadway show, like a sing-along or whatever you want. I don't know if I'm going to be watching it, but I'm sure it will be good. Peter Docter officially reveals that Andrew Stanton and McKenna Harris are directing Toy Story 5. They previously directed WALL-E and Nemo, Finding Nemo, and co-wrote all the other Toy Story films. Why are we still making these? Okay, we shouldn't have made 4. You know, I never saw 4. It looked dumb. 3 ended so well. What's there even to do in 5 that's going to save this franchise? Nothing. The franchise was fine. We're overdoing it. Let's stop. And you know what? We're going to stop right here as the number 10 thing we have is the Fortnite Lego Battle Bus has come to Lego and is available for $100. It also comes with like 7 little figurines, $100 to build a Lego Battle Bus. Will I buy that? No. If I had an extremely large sum of money and I had nothing to do with it, would I be buying it? I would say yes, but honestly, no. I do not see myself building a freaking Lego battle bus, right? Fortnite, I haven't played Fortnite in months. It's been a while. The game has completely changed. It ain't the same as it was back in 2018. It's a different game now. Fortnite has completely changed the gaming world, and clearly it's in Lego, so it's doing something right. So fun stuff there in the pop culture world. And speaking of new, fun, exciting, I mean, big things ahead, there's one big thing coming at you sooner or later, and it is UFC 304, Leon Edwards versus Bilal Muhammad 2, the rematch going down this weekend. We got a lot of fights to cover, guys. We got a lot of fights to cover. I mean, what are we up to now? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 fights as of Wednesday, July 24th. Of course, the press conference is tomorrow. Weigh-ins are Friday. Let's hope we can make it with all the fights intact. Got a lot of fights to go through. A lot of predictions to be made. Let's do it. Let's lock it in. Your UFC 304 predictions and previews start right now. Kicking off this jam-packed card, which, by the way, is not even taking place in England time. It's taking place in American time, so the English fighters are all messed up overseas. But we have a women's strawweight matchup between Sean and Mama B. Bannon and Elise Ardaline. Elise Ardaline, very interesting. Shauna Bannon, 5-1 professionally. Elise Ardaline making her UFC debut at a record of 9-5. 5'5" to 5'3" gives Shauna 2 inches in height, 3 inches in reach as well, 65 inches to 62, a switch stance for Mama B, and as for Elise Ardaline, an orthodox position. There have been a lot of changes to the bout order I've noticed for this card, so I'm going to have to try and keep up with that as I have a bunch of notes and I got to poke all around to find them. So Shauna Bannon, should we start with her? 36 years old from Ireland, of her 5 MMA wins, she has 2 KOs. She recently fought in July of 2023, lost the decision to Bruna Bazile. That fight was actually in England, Aspinall versus Tibera. And you know, since then she's had 2 canceled bouts. She's been looking to get a fight going. Finally has one here. We'll see how she does. As she takes on Elise Ardaline, 32 years old from Romania, but now lives and trains in England. How about that? 9 wins to her record, 4 KOs and 4 submissions. Make that up. Of her 5 losses, she's been submitted twice, and she's currently on a 7-fight win streak. Her last loss was actually in 2016 to Zhang Weili. How about that? Absolutely incredible. Shauna Bannon, you know what? I like your style, but there's something about a short-notice fighter. 8 of her 9 wins are by finish. She's on a 7-fight win streak, stepping out of short notice in front of her home crowd, getting it done. Let's go, Elise Ardaline. Gotta spice it up. Okay, we gotta spice it up. I'm sick and tired of picking all these fights wrong. There's no real, you know, way to predict this one correctly. But Elise Ardaline would be fun to see you pull off a little upset. But Shauna Bannon, if she wins, I wouldn't be surprised. The UFC wants her to win because she's attractive and they like to promote hot women over non-hot women. Following that, we head to the men's heavyweight division as Mick Parkin takes on Lucas the Bull Brazik. Ooh, Mick Parkin 9-0 undefeated. Lucas Brazik 9-4-1 with 1 no contest. Both men are 6-4, and Mick Parkin has a 1-inch reach advantage, 79 inches to 78, an orthodox stance for both of these young gentlemen. Mick Parkin coming in at -210 favorite for this one, 3-0 in the UFC. The 28-year-old from England, of his 9 wins, has 5 KOs and 1 submission. Mick Parkin fought earlier this year in March, was able to beat Muhammad Usman. Good win there. Was able to outstrike him. Before that, outgrappled Kyle Majato to a win in November. A year ago in July, took on Jamal Pogues, outstruck him. Last finish was on Dana White's Contender Series in 2022. Got a 2-minute submission, but since then, all decisions. We'll see how he does as he takes on the +175 underdog, Lucas the Bull Brazik, 32 years old from Poland. Of his 9 wins, 5 KOs and 2 submissions. Of his 4 losses, he's been KO'd twice. Previously, he had been on a 3-fight losing streak before finally picking up a win in April over Walter Walker, was able to survive his grappling. Look, Lucas Brazik, I just do not really believe is fit for the heavyweight division. I mean, and look, Martin Boudet beat him. Carl Williams beat him. Walter Cortez Acosta finished him. Didn't really see much from that Walter Walker fight. I think Mick Parkin is much better than Walter Walker. So Mick Parkin getting the win here. I don't know by finish. You know, some of these it's tougher to pick if they're going to get a finish or not. But I'm certainly going to ride with the win in this one. But you know what? If it's going to be a finish, it's going to be a TKO. That's my prediction. I mean, he has more TKOs than he does submissions. So that should tell you all you need to know there. Next up, we go to the men's welterweight division as Sam Patterson takes on Kiefer BDK Crosby. Makes me think of the BTK killer. BDK, what is that nickname, Kiefer? Very perplexing. Sam Patterson, 11-2-1. Kiefer Crosby, 10-4. 6'3" to 5'11" gives Sam 4 inches in height. He also has 8 inches in reach, 78 inches to 70. Wow, an orthodox stance for Sam Patterson. Switch stance for BDK. Holy cow. Wow. That must be why Sam Patterson is a -350 favorite. Holy cow. The 28-year-old from England has 4 KOs and 6 submissions. 10 of his 11 wins by finish. Very impressive. His 2 losses, he's been KO'd in both of those fights. And just as I correctly mentioned earlier, Yanal Ashmov's KO'd him last year, but came back, started this year at UFC 297, got a 2-minute submission of Johan Lennesse. Sam Patterson is back in the win column. But man, that reach, even the height, even a little bit. Sam Patterson is a lanky fellow who doesn't really carry the power, but he certainly does carry the grappling abilities. Got a rear naked chokehold on the Contender Series. Got a rear naked chokehold earlier this year. He's coming in with a win. We'll see how he does. He takes on the +275 underdog, Kiefer Crosby, 34 years old, from Ireland, trains at SBG with John Kavanaugh, with Conor McGregor. Of those 10 wins, 5 KOs and 2 submissions. Of his 4 losses, he's been finished in 3 of them. He was originally supposed to fight Themba Garimbo on February 3rd. That fight fell apart. Of course, Kiefer pulled out. Fought last year in September, made his UFC debut, got submitted by Kevin Josset with 11 seconds left in round number 1. Kiefer is good striking. I'll give him that. He certainly has good striking, but when it comes to this fight, I think he's going to get taken down and submitted again. This is just not a favorable fight. If you're going to back an underdog, this is a really good bet here. But I'm going with one of the biggest favorites on the card at -350, Sam Patterson. Let's see how it goes, guys. We'll see how it goes. Following that, I cannot explain this. I cannot explain why this fight is here. I genuinely do not know. But for some reason, the number 6 and number 8 flyweights in the world, Muhammad the Punisher Moikaev and Manel Starboy Cape, are the 4th fight on the prelims. This fight was originally supposed to be the 2nd fight on the main card. So I don't really know what's transpiring or why it's this low. I don't know if they think Manel Cape's going to pull out or if Muhammad Makhayev's going to pull out, so they just kind of put it down low to prepare everyone. But as of right now, the fight is on. For some reason, it has dropped 8 spots down to the 4th fight in on the whole card. Unfortunate stuff there, but nonetheless, doesn't really matter where your fight takes place as long as you get a win. Let's kick it off. Muhammad the Punisher Moikaev, 12-0 with 1 no contest. Manel Starboy Cape, 19-6. 5'7" to 5'5" give Muhammad 2 inches in height. Muhammad also has 2 inches in reach. Good stuff from him. Who do we even begin with? Do we begin with the number 6 ranked Muhammad Moikaev? I think we do. -125 favorite for this matchup. That's right. 23 years old, 12-0. He is a beautiful, absolutely beautiful 6-0 in the UFC with 4 submissions. How about that? 4 wins by finish. Muhammad Moikaev was born in Dagestan, but now lives in Manchester, England, lives and trains. Of those 12 wins, 1 KO and 6 submissions. Picked up a win in March over Alex Perez. Used his grappling in that fight, but not that impressive. Alex Perez really showed some skill there. Wasn't able to get the win. Muhammad Moikaev was able to get it done, but you know, Moikaev, he's been taking on tougher competition after tougher competition, and it's been kind of building up to this one. We'll see how he does as he takes on the star boy, Manel Cape, 30 years old, +105 underdog from Angola, now lives and trains in Vegas. Currently on a little 4-fight winning streak with wins over Ode Osborne, Zalaga Zumalagov, David Dork, and most recently, Felipe Dos Santos in a fight of the night. Manel Cape, 11 KOs and 5 submissions, gives him 16 of his 19 wins by finish. Of his 6 losses, he's been submitted 2 times. And also, In his UFC run, which has lasted from February of 2021 to as of right now, July 2024, he's had 9 canceled bouts. That's got to be a UFC record.
Huh?
Got to be a UFC record of some kind. I mean, holy cow, 9 canceled bouts. I don't even know if he's going to make it to fight night, but Manel Cape, he's an absolute dog. I've seen only twice, really, you know, him be out-grappled. It's really tough to know what Manel Cape we're going to get. His only UFC losses are to Mathias Nicolau and Alexander Pantoa. You know, he took Pantoa to a decision in his first UFC fight. Meanwhile, you have Moi Kaev, who's, you know, 23-12-0. He's looked dominant. I look at two guys who have just had canceled fights after canceled fights. I don't really know who to ride with. Something tells me that Muhammad Mokaev will get this done. So we are going to ride with Muhammad Mokaev. But if Manel Cape does end up pulling it off, I mean, count me in. Count me in, okay? But, I mean, if Cape pulls it off. But, yeah, we're going to go with Muhammad Mokaev. That's just my gut pick from the beginning. We're going to stick with it. And honestly, the stats point to Mokaev using his grappling to get a win here. Following that, we're back to the men's welterweight division as Oban the Welsh Gangster Elliott takes on Preston Pressures Parsons. Wow, we got some wacky nicknames in this one. Oban the Welsh Gangster, 6'10" record. Preston Parsons, 5'11", 11-4 record. So just a little taller for Oban. Same goes for Reach, 72 inches to 71, fairly close. And then unorthodox stance for both of these men. Very similar these two. Oban Elliott, the +130 underdog, is 1-0 in the UFC. The 26-year-old from Wales is on a 6-fight win streak overall, and of his 10 wins, has 2 KOs and 3 subs. Both of his losses, he's been KO'd. Won on Dana White's Contender Series last August, made his debut in February, was able to beat Val Woodburn, did get dropped by him, which is embarrassing, but he's the Welsh Gangster, okay? The Welsh Gangster is not getting knocked out by Val Woodburn, okay? Hailing from Wales, this is essentially a home matchup for him as he takes on the American Preston Parsons. 29 years old, -160 favorite from Florida. Of his 11 wins, 9 submissions. Of his 4 losses, though, he's been finished in 3 of them. And so far, he's gone 2-2 in the UFC. Coming off win over Matthew Schemmelsberger earlier this year in January, actually first card of the year, UFC Vegas 84. He used his grappling in that one, 7 minutes of control, actually 7 takedowns for 6.5 minutes of control time. Preston Parsons was in his bag, but guess what? He ain't going to be in it here because, you know, we're riding with the Welsh Gangster, Oban Elliott from Wales. Striking's better. The only thing I worry is that Preston Parsons is going to get another grappling win, but Oban Elliott has a striking ability, I think is a bit more battle-tested in England, that is. So we'll ride with him, we'll see how it goes, but the Welsh Gangster will definitely be our prediction. Following yet another welterweight matchup, I mean, holy cow, we're finally to the fight I thought was going to open the card in the men's light heavyweight division as the Baltic Gladiator, Modestus Bukauskas, takes on Marcin Prachinia. Modestus is 15-6, Marcin is 17-7. Both men are 6'3". Modestus does have a 4-inch reach, 78 inches to 74. He also fights in the switch stance where Marcin is more orthodox. Modestus -150, Marcin Prachinia +125. And Modestus Bukauskas, I oddly like this kid for some reason. 30 years old, born in Lithuania, now lives and trains in England. Of those 15 wins, 9 KOs, 2 submissions. Of his 6 losses, he's been KO'd 4 times, which is unfortunate, but you know, it happens. Modestus has had a crazy run in the UFC, and his debut gets a performance of the night for beating Andreas Michaldis in 2020. After that, goes on a 3-fight losing streak, losing to Jimmy Crute, Michael Olakojasek, and Khalil Rountree Jr., who brutally hurt his leg. Would come back 2 years later on short notice and beat Tyson Pedro in front of his hometown of Australia. Home crowd, I should have said. Then beat Zach Pauga in June of 2023. Fought in November. Got knocked out by Vitor Petrino. But he's back. He's ready. Marcin Prachinia will be in his way. From Poland, 36 years old, now lives in the Netherlands. A karate background. Of his 17 wins, 11 KOs, and 1 submission. Of those 7 losses, he has been finished in 5 of those fights. I mean, Marcin Prachinia, this is year number 6 for him in the UFC. Originally came in, got finished, got knocked out in his first 3 fights. Okay, finally got wins over Khalil Rountree Jr. and Ike Villanueva. Had a little stint at light heavyweight, lost to Vasiliy Baylinz, got a win over William Knight, committed to light heavyweight, got submitted last July to Vitor Petrino, but did pick up a win over Devin Clark earlier this year in February. You never know what you're going to get with either of these guys, but I mean, I don't even know. I honestly, there's not much to go off of. We have a 4-inch reach advantage for Modestus Bukauskas. Modestus has two more submissions. These two are both strikers, pretty much. Modestus is kind of a dog. When he's gotten clipped bad, he's gotten clipped bad. But honestly, Marcin Pacino hasn't given me much to work with. He's been very mediocre since pretty much his entire UFC run. And, you know, the Baltic Gladiator is too good of a nickname to, you know, not go with him. Let's go with Modestus Bukauskas. I mean, he's from England. We're riding with all the England fighters tonight for some reason. No sense to go back on it now. Getting into our third to last prelim of the evening, we head to the men's bantamweight division, 135 pounds, as Jake White Kong Hadley takes on Kellen the Don Lorraine. Well, it's over, guys. It's wraps. You already know who I'm picking. I'm picking the Don. Jake Hadley, 10-3. Kellen Lorraine, 9-1. 5'7" to 5'6" gives Jake 1 inch in height. He also has 2 inches in reach, 70 inches to 68. Jake Hadley actually usually fights at 125, so he's actually moving up in weight for this matchup. Southpaw stands for that left hand for Hadley, orthodox for the Don, Kellen Lorraine. Let's start off with Kellen Lorraine. Kellen Lorraine is the minus 195 favorite for this matchup. The 28-year-old from Ireland has 5 KOs and 2 submissions of his 9 wins. He was actually supposed to fight Ramon Tavares, but Ramon did get hurt, so in steps Jake Hadley. Kellen won his UFC, his second UFC fight. He lost his debut in Paris last September, but got a big win over Angel Pacheco earlier this year in March. Used his grappling in that fight. Good stuff from the Don. I liked what I saw in that fight. But what are you going to do? What are you going to do? His nickname's the Don. He knows the Irish mob, okay? Jake Hadley, his opponent stepping in on short notice, plus 165 underdog, 27 years old. He's from England. How about that? Of his 10 wins, 3 KOs and 5 submissions, and of his 3 losses, he's never been finished. How about that? But Jake Hadley is going from flyweight to bantamweight, which is kind of a big jump. He is sitting at 2-3 in the UFC, wins over Carlos Condalario and Malcolm Gordon, but a 2-fight losing streak, lost to Cody Durden, got outgrappled, lost to Charles Johnson and May, got outstruck. You know, Jake Hadley, not on the best run. He's moving up in weight. I don't see that going well. And I got to go with the Don because I love my mobsters. Let's go, Kellen Lorraine. And Jake Hadley, there was that one point where he was supposed to be the next big thing. Joe Dana White liked him on Dana White's Contender Series. But just never really translated to the UFC. He's been very mediocre. I won't lie. The Cody Durden and Charles Johnson losses are valid. Those are two both great competitors. I don't think it's going to translate well moving up in weight on short notice to take on the Don. Okay, Kellen Lorraine getting it done, in my book, that is. Finally, we get to a woman's fight on the card. Only one woman fighting on this card, or two women, I guess, but only one woman's fight. As Meatball Molly McCann, the Liverpool legend, Patty the Batty's sister from another mister, takes on Bruna Brazil. Man. Molly McCann, minus 300 favorite. Bruna Brazil, plus 240. Molly is 14-6. Bruna is 9-4-1. 5'6" to 5'4" gives Bruna 2 inches in height, and she has 3 inches in reach, 65 inches to 62. Both ladies love their right hands in the orthodox position. I mean, let's just start with the meatball. Molly McCann, a English legend, all right, from Liverpool. London loves her and is certainly going to deliver whenever she's in them. Octagon. I mean, she is incredible. 34 years old, of course, from England, as we mentioned. 6 KOs and 1 submission of those 14 wins. I mean, 50% finish rate isn't the most pretty. Of her 6 losses, she's been submitted 3 times. That's actually happened in her 2 of her last 3 fights. And Molly McCann has had just one of the craziest runs in the UFC. I mean, debuts in England, gets submitted, goes on a 3-fight losing streak. I mean, a 3-fight winning streak, goes on a 2-fight losing streak. Goes on a 3-fight winning streak. Goes on a 2-fight losing streak. Got a big win in February. Armbar, ironically, after losing to Armbar last summer over Deanna Balbida. And got it done, all right? Performance of the night as well. Molly McCann has not left the first round since March of 2022. She's not gone the distance since September 2021. So I don't know if this fight is going the distance. I certainly doubt it as she takes on Bruna Brazil. Plus 240 underdog, 30 years old from Brazil. Of those 9 wins, 3 KOs and 2 submissions. Of those 4 losses, she's been KO'd 3 times. She's sitting at 1-2 in the UFC. A loss to Denise Gomez, a win over the first lady of the card, Shauna Bannon, and most recently lost to Loma Luke Boone. spoon me in 2024 in February. So, yeah, we're going with Molly McCann. We'll always ride with Molly McCann. Round one knockout is in the cards. I got to make sure I enter all my predictions into verdict. I honestly really do, because if I don't, then no one will believe it. I have to etch it into stone. So thank you all for reminding me to do that. And I also thought this would have been the final prelim of the night, Molly McCann getting a knockout. But no. Instead, we have a nice little featherweight matchup between Daniel, does he have a nickname, Wood? Daniel the Prospect Wood and Daniel the Pit Pineda. I mean, Nathaniel Wood. Nathaniel and Daniel. Got a little rhyming game going on. Nathaniel Wood is your biggest favorite on the card. 19-6. Daniel Pineda, big underdog, +370. Nathaniel Wood, -500. Pineda is 28-15 with 3-0 contests. 5'7" to 5'6" gives Pineda 1 inch in height. Both men have a 69-inch reach and stand in the orthodox fighting position. Let's start off with the biggest favorite. I mean, come on, Nathaniel the Prospect Wood. Wow. 30 years old from London, England. Of those 19 wins, 7 KOs and 6 submissions. So 13 of 19 wins, not too bad. Of his 6 losses, he's been finished 4 times. But luckily, that hasn't happened since 2020 when he lost to John Dodson. Since then, it's been all decision wins, and he had previously been on a 3-fight winning streak from July of 2022 to July of 2023. But unfortunately, in October, lost to Muhammad Naimov in a tricky decision. Now, Naimov was doing a little cheating, I will say, in that fight, which we do not condone at all. So, Nathaniel Wood, back in action in front of a home crowd in London. Should be exciting. Should be very, very exciting. Takes on Daniel Pineda, which feels like a pickup fight. It really does. Daniel, 8 years his senior, 38 years old, from Texas. Of his 28 wins, 9 KOs and 19 submissions. So, I mean, 27 of 28 wins by finish is pretty impressive. Of his 15 losses, he's been finished 9 times, so there's that. He most recently fought in June of 2023. He lost the fight of the night to Alex Caceres, but before that, in March of 2023, got around to guillotine choke performance in the night. Pineda, been around since 2012. I mean, he had one stint in the UFC from 2012 to 2014, went 3-4, never really did much. Came back in 2020, has since gone 2-2 with a no contest. He's been all around. He's here to fight, but Nathaniel Wood is just better. You know, he's the biggest favorite on this card for a reason. The striking, the grappling, he's been improving so well. And at 30 years old, I truly believe in a 2 to 3 year time span, by the time he's 32, 33, dare I even say 34, he could be looking at a title challenge or even a champion. Nathaniel Wood has all the tools, just has to put them together, getting a win no matter what. I don't really know. He hasn't really gotten a finish in years. I mean, it's been like 6 now, so kind of hard to picture that. But I will say a decision win would look very well for Nathaniel Wood. With that, ladies and gentlemen, we get into this main card, and this main card is what makes this entire card phenomenal. Utterly phenomenal. This card is just the cream of the crop, the basil of them. I don't even know what I'm saying. You know, there's just not even any words to put together for how fire this main card's going to be. And we kick it off. Men's featherweight division. Let's get it. The number 6th ranked Arnold Allen and the number 10 ranked Giga Chikadze. I mean, come on. Come on. Let's get into it. Arnold Almighty Allen, 19-3. Hometown boy. Giga Ninja Chikadze, 15-3. 6'5'8", does give Giga 4 inches in height, and he is 4 inches in reach, 74 inches to 70 inches. Southpaw stance for Arnold Allen, orthodox for Giga Chikadze. Arnold Allen, of course, -260 favorite, 30 years old, the almighty, from England. This is his homeland. 7 KOs and 4 submissions of those 19 wins. And of his 3 losses, he's never been finished. He had previously been on an absolutely incredible run. It was like a 10-fight win streak, 11-fight win streak, before unfortunately running into Max Holloway last year in April. Fought earlier this year in January, of course, we mentioned earlier, with Mosvar Evlov. That was his last fight. That was the last man to beat him. It was very unfortunate for Arnold Allen, but he really showed the dog in him, okay? He really showed the dog, pushed Mosvar to his elements. And as far as I'm concerned, Arnold Allen is just a different animal when it comes to these London cards. You know what? He's fought in London 4 times, 4-0. Don't expect it to change here as he takes on Giga Chikadze. +210 underdog, 35 years old, from Georgia, but now lives and trains in California. Of his 15 wins, 9 KOs and 1 submission, he's been subbed once of his 3 losses. Giga, I mean, lost on the Contender Series, came back in the UFC, 7-fight win streak, wins over Cub Swanson, Edson Barboza, then ran into Calvin Kattar in January of 2022, had one lone fight against Alex Caceres last year, a close striking decision. Giga dealt with some injuries. Don't really think he's the same killer he used to be. He's taken on Arnold Allen in his home country. I mean, the last time Arnold Allen was in England, he brutalized Dan Hooker in round number one and TKO'd him. So, Arnold Allen, I like him. I'm rooting for him. I thought he beat Max Holloway, honestly. I knew he wouldn't beat Mosvar, but I thought he beat Max Holloway. So, we're definitely riding with Arnold Almighty Allen. Next fight, I mean, it wasn't but 2 weeks ago. This fight wasn't even on the card. Nonetheless, the main card, as Christian Leroy Duncan takes on Gregory RoboCop Rodriguez. CLD is 10-1. Gregory RoboCop Rodriguez, Violent Obama. So many nicknames for this man, is 15-5. 6'3" to 6'2" gives Gregory 1 inch in height, and he does not have a reach advantage. Christian Leroy Duncan, 79 inches to 75. Switch stance for CLD, orthodox for Gregory Rodriguez. Both of these guys are the favorite. -115 for Christian, -105 for Gregory. So a slight lean for Rodriguez, barely. CLD, I mean, 28 years old, from England. Of those 10 wins, 8 KOs and 1 submission. He was supposed to fight Robert Brzezik, but hey, how about you're going from unranked Robert Brzezik to middleweight killer Gregory Rodriguez? CLD is currently 3-1 in the UFC. 2-fight win streak, two. Both of those TKOs in round two. Coming off a big win over Claudio Ribeiro in March. Really got it done in that one. Excited to see what CLD offers. Back in front of a home crowd. I mean, he made his debut in front of a London crowd in March of 2023. This is going to be his first crowd event since then. So we'll see how that translates. But it won't be any easy going as he takes on the -105, 32-year-old from Brazil. Of his 15 wins, 9 KOs and 4 submissions. Of his 5 losses, he's been KO'd 3 times. Gregory RoboCop Rodriguez. This dude, utterly insane. Incredible. Currently sitting at 6-3 in the UFC. I mean, he's been TKO'd on Damage Contender Series. He's been knocked out by Bruno Ferreira. He's also knocked out Julian Marquez, knocked out Jungkook Park, knocked out Cheetah Njoukany, knocked out Dennis Doolin, and most recently, earlier this year in February, TKO'd Brad Tavares 55 seconds into round number 3. Ladies and gentlemen, Gregory Rodriguez. And there is an odd pattern where he's gone loss, 2 wins, loss, 2 wins, loss, 2 wins, which could very well end here. There's a little pattern there, but there's just no reason for me to pick against Gregory Rodriguez. There just isn't. Gregory Rodriguez is such a killer, such a dog. Only 32 years old. There's a reason the odds are so close. CLD could pull out a little hometown miracle, but out comes Robert Brzezik. In steps the winner, Gregory Rodriguez. And I'm even going to go with a little round 3 knockout. Okay, got to slip the round 3 knockout in there. I just truly believe in his abilities. Gregory Rodriguez, get it done. Third fight of the prelims, our first fight, not the prelims, you idiot, the main card, our first fight before our 2 title fights, as King Green, that is right, Bobby Green, you're currently number ranked 15th in the lightweight division, changed his name legally from Bobby to King Green, but I think we're still going to call him Bobby, because King being your first name is ridiculous, just because it used to be Bobby. You know, obviously there's Kings out there that I know. I think my cousin's neighbor's kid's name is King, which is fine, but I don't know, it's just Bobby Green doing it to be a troll. So Bobby Green takes on Paddy the Batty Pimblett. He's back, guys. He is back. Paddy the Batty is back, and gosh, the pop when he comes out, it's gonna be insane. Let's do it. Green is 32-15-1 with 1 no contest. You know what that means, guys. This is his 50th professional fight. That's absolutely crazy. King Green. Dang it. I'm already calling him. Guess what? He's King Green now. Okay. Absolutely a legend of the game. 5'10", 71-inch reach, and got that number 15 ranking. But the Batty, Paddy, 21-3. Same height, 5'10", 2 inches in reach, 73 inches. Both men are in the orthodox stance. And by the way, that's right, he's on home turf. He's the London boy. He's from Liverpool. Absolutely love him. King Green, Bobby Green. Of course, -125 favorite. 37 years old from California. 20 finishes of his 32 wins, 11 KOs, and 9 subs. Of his 15 losses, he's been finished 7 times. So not too bad. Not too bad. Bobby Green, been around a long time, guys. I'm talking 2009 long. I mean, dude has fought a who's who of UFC legends. I mean, he's fought Edson Barboza, Dustin Poirier, Clay Guida, Thiago Moises, Rafael Zev, Elia Quinta, Islam Makhachev, Drew Dober, Tony Ferguson, Grant Dawson. Most recently picked up a win over Jim Miller at UFC 300, brutalized him. But before that, in December, was TKO'd in round number one, which wasn't the prettiest sight. King Green, legendary, absolutely love him, brings it every single time, is never not on point. But unfortunately for him, he's dealing with the baddest man, the baddest Patty in the land. And guess what? Guess what, guys? The plus 105 underdog, the 29-year-old from Liverpool, 7-fight win streak, 15 finishes and 21 wins, 5 KOs and 10 submissions. He's only ever been finished once. That's right, Patty the Batty Pimblett, 5-0 in the UFC. Patty Pimblett, welcome back. So happy to have him back. I mean, there's at one point he fought 3 times in 2022, only got 1 fight due to injuries in 2023, but he's already back. Excited to see him in front of his hometown. I mean, of those 5 fights, he's fought in front of his London crowd twice. Okay, he's fought in front of his London crowd twice. Both of those, rear naked chokeholds, 1 in round 2, 1 in round 1, which means Bobby Green's getting submitted in round number 3 by Patty the Batty Pimblett. I mean, I'm a huge Patty supporter. He's my only UFC t-shirt that I have. Patty the Batty is saying on the back. Absolutely love him, and sure, his chin has been tested, but he's coming off a huge ego-boosting win over Tony Ferguson. Knocked him down, brutalized him, did his best to get it done. And so far, he's only had 1 blunder, the Jared Gordon fight. That's been it. Before that, 3 finishes. He's on a 7-fight win streak. He's incredible. Excited to see him. I do not see him losing in front of his home crowd. It's just not happening. Bobby Green's on the way out, and the young, hungry Patty is on his way up. And if I see Patty Pimblett with a ranking come next Tuesday, I'm going to lose my mind. That would be absolutely ridiculous. I love it. I absolutely love it. With that, ladies and gentlemen, we get into our co-main event of the evening as the number 11 ranked man in the pound-for-pound rankings, your current number 1 ranked heavyweight, the interim champion, the killer, the protege, the next big thing when it comes to UFC heavyweights, Tom Aspinall, the second biggest favorite on the card at minus 400 rematches, the only man to beat him in the UFC. Curtis Razor Blades at plus 310. Razor is currently ranked number 4. But man, Tom Aspinall 14-3. Curtis Blades 18-4 with 1 no contest. 6'5" to 6'4" gives Tom 1 inch in height, and he is at a disadvantage in reach, 78 inches to 80 inches. But that's never really stopped him before. Orthodox stance with the right hand for both of these gentlemen. Tom Aspinall, what more do you want? Dude is a finisher through and through, 31 years old from Liverpool. Of his 14 wins, he has 10 KOs and 4 submissions for a 100% finish rate. He's only ever been to round 2 once in his career. Wow. Wow, 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 wow. Of those 3 losses, he's been KO'd once and submitted once. And by the way, that KO loss was to Curtis Blades in July of 2022. Tom Aspinall tore his knee 15 seconds in, a ligament in it, and it counts as a TKO win for Curtis Blades. So, obviously not an actual win for Curtis Blades. Crazy these two are running it back 2 years later. I'm excited for it. It's just Tom Aspinall, legendary guy. I mean, came in 2020, first 2 fights, round 1 finishes. Then finally went to round 2 against Andrei Arlovsky, submitted him a minute into round 2. I mean, dude's incredible. Wins over Sergey Spivak, wins over Alexander Volkov. Most recently, went over Marcin Tybura, fought in November, KO'd Sergey Pavlovich to win the interim belt in a minute. I mean, Tom Aspinall, he's incredible. He's been soaking his fist in petrol oil because apparently bare-knuckle fighters do that. I mean, dude is insane. He's dedicated, and he's coming for the crown. That is right. This is considered by a lot of MMA fans, maybe even myself, as the undisputed heavyweight championship bout, as Jon Jones versus Stipe Miocic, if it ever happens this November, feels like a retirement fight. I've seen that float around a lot. Definitely feels like a retirement fight. And Tom Aspinall is the real champion to me. His opponent, the plus 310 underdog, Curtis Blades, 33 years old from Chicago. He's a wrestler. He's a wrestler through and through. Of his 18 wins, 13 KOs. Of his 4 losses, he's been KO'd in every single one of them. Just kind of interesting. Just kind of an interesting point. Curtis Blades been around since 2016. I mean, he's fought in Ngannou. He's fought in Alexei Oleinik, Mark Hunt, Alistair Overeem, Shamil Abdurakhimov, Junior Dos Santos, Alexander Volkov, Derek Lewis. I mean, It goes on and on and on. More recently, last year in April, Sergey Pavlovich KO'd him in 3 minutes. Did bounce back with a win in March over Halton Almeida. Was a weird fight, though, as Halton Almeida set the takedown record in round number one on Curtis Blaydes, who has the most takedowns in UFC heavyweight division history. Just pretty funny there. And, you know, Halton left his head hanging open, ate a bunch of hammer fists. Curtis Blaydes got his 13th career knockout. He's looking to come back, looking to bring it, but guys, Tom Aspinall is knocking Curtis Blaydes out cold. He is face planting him. Tom Aspinall is not losing in front of a London crowd. He would have to get injured again, which would just be heartbreaking. Do not think that's going to happen in the slightest, but absolutely love him. Absolutely love Tom Aspinall. Rooting for him, cheering for him, and without a doubt in my mind, he's going to get this win. But hey, you know, I always say guarantee, but sometimes you got to be careful. Don't sleep on Curtis Razor Blaydes. I did that last time, and he got a round two TKO win. We'll have to see. With that, ladies and gentlemen, that brings us into the rematch. The main event of UFC 304. The whole reason we're tuning in, not true. It's definitely for Tom Aspinall and Patty Batty. But here we are. Here we are, the welterweight championship for the undisputed welterweight gold, as Leon Edwards, your champion, takes on the number two ranked contender, Bilal Muhammad. And by the way, Leon Edwards is the number four pound-for-pound fighter on this planet Earth, according to UFC, that is. Minus 225 favorite is Leon Rocky Edwards. Plus 185 underdog is Bilal. Remember the name, Muhammad. Leon Edwards, 22-3 with one no contest. Bilal Muhammad, 23-3 with one no contest. They're so similar. 6'2 to 5'11 does give Leon 3 inches in height, and he is 2 inches in reach. 74 inches to 72. Southpaw for Leon, orthodox for Bilal Muhammad. Leon Edwards, your champion, the number four pound-for-pound fighter, 13-fight unbeaten streak. Incredible. Technically on a four-fight winning streak. You know, it's unfortunate how it happens with the no contest, how it kind of etches out the win streak, but we're counting it as an unbeaten streak. He's been absolutely incredible. 32 years old. England's his home nation. 7 KOs and 3 subs. Does give him a sub-50% finish rate. Of his 3 losses, he's never been finished. His last loss was to Kamaru Usman in 2015. I mean, that was freaking ages ago. And, you know, the unbeaten streak speaks for itself. This will be his third title defense, or he looks to make it his third title defense. Fourth championship fight. I mean, incredible run. Incredible run he's been on. Wins over Vicente Luque, Brian Barberina, Cowboy Cerrone, Gunnar Nelson, Rafael dos Anjos, Nate Diaz. 2 wins over Usman, coming off a big win over Covington in December. Did lose the final round, but hey. Hey, well, the only thing that we can really look at in comparison to this fight is the fact these two fought in 2021, and Leon Edwards, I poked Bilal in round two, not even but 20 seconds in, and Bilal cried, and the fight was over. So, since then, these two crossing paths has been inevitable. It's been Thanos. It's been Doctor Strange. It's meant to happen, as Bilal Muhammad, the least entertaining fighter in the UFC. Everyone can agree he's the least entertaining fighter, nicest human, least entertaining fighter, has somehow finessed his way to a title shot. The number two welterweight in the world, Bilal, remember the name, Muhammad. The 36-year-old is from Chicago, big supporter of Palestine. 5 KOs and 1 sub in his 23 wins. I want you all to know, 6 divided by 23 times 100 gives us a percent of a 26% finish rate. That's so bad. That's so bad. He's a decision machine. He's a grappler. He does what he needs to do. He's only ever lost by KO once. And he's on a 10-fight unbeaten streak. Technically, a 5-fight win streak. Bilal came in the UFC, lost the fight of the night. Was able to get a TKO over Augusto Montano way back in 2016. Then got knocked out by Vicente Luque in just over a minute. After that, went on a nice little 4-fight win streak before losing to Jeff Neal in 2019. And since then, has yet to lose. I mean, most recently, since 2021, he's been fighting notable people ever since he stepped in on short notice against Leon Edwards. Beat Damian Maia thanks to defending takedowns. Beat Wonderboy thanks to grappling. Beat Vicente Luque thanks to grappling. TKO'd Sean Brady. That one is just baffling to me. And most recently beat a one-armed Gilbert Burns. Couldn't even finish him in May of last year. Bilal, remember the name, Muhammad. His nickname is Remember the Name because no one remembers it otherwise. He's trying to sell this fight saying that, you know, Leon Edwards and his team are a bunch of pussies, which I find absolutely ridiculous that he would ever even say that. He's just trying to sell the fight. Leon Edwards is winning. I hate to say it. It's going to be a boring decision. It's going to be a boring decision. I don't even know what pick I have down on verdict. I'm changing it to a Leon Edwards decision. I got to be smart. But I will say, you know, Leon Edwards getting a finish would be very nice to see. Decision win is probably most likely. If Bilal Muhammad could win the belt, it would be so funny. It would be so funny because he's so unmarketable. He's not a main event guy. There's just no way there'd be a rematch. It'd be so funny if Bilal won. I'm not picking Bilal to win, but I am saying it would be absolutely hilarious if Bilal, remember the name Muhammad, actually gets the win. So that's our official prediction, Leon Edwards to win and retain his welterweight championship. And maybe even fight Islam Makhachev next year in a title, double title shot. Who knows? We shall see. Ladies and gentlemen, that'll do it. That'll do it for this episode. Episode 105. You know, I was hoping to do two episodes this week. Got busy, oddly. Unfortunately, my power went out Monday, which is pretty crazy. I completely forgot to mention that. Yeah, I lost power on Monday. It was crazy. Never really happened. Has had that happen to me before. But UFC 304, going to be absolutely amazing. UFC Vegas 94, we'll leave to the past. We're always talking about discussing film. Always talking about new fights. We're going to work on getting some more verdict Q&A questions. Well, all I'm going to say is Paddy Pimblett, Tom Aspinall, bring the A game. Bring the punches. Get the wins. Ladies and gentlemen, have an amazing weekend. Whenever you're listening to this, have an amazing day. Have an amazing life. Thank you so much for listening. I truly appreciate it. If even one person listens to this, it warms my heart. Reach out to me. Say hello. You know what? You can even come on as a guest. I'm pretty open. I'm pretty groovy. You know how it be. We're over talking. Ladies and gentlemen, I will catch you next time on the Surprise Jab Podcast.